Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Call in at 515-602-9731. Go check out our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody subscribing to that. We're just trucking right along here. And appreciate everybody joining on this second Monday. Everybody's looking forward to, I guess, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was just looking at some news and, you know, finding out what's going on in the world, and everybody's just still complaining about fuel prices. That's what everybody's doing. In fact, there's a really cool video I was going to show you here real quick, and we'll get to that here in a second. I just wanted to remind everybody one of our great sponsors, and that's the LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation. LTRtransportation.com is where they're at. That's a cool little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and they've been a great supporter of Redneck and I's here for the past several years. You know, they started in 2020, and they were expecting a big, you know, we were expecting a big 2020, and then everything shut down, and of course, you know, and then we started this radio show here. We're excited about it. The LTR had a great turnout for their truck show that they were there with us at Mid-America Trucking Show this last time around here in 2022, and they seemed to enjoy it and had a great time and got a lot out of it, so we look forward to hanging out with them more often in the future. Go check out, you can check out LTR Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call 720-277-0030. And when you talk to them, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. So there was a video here that came out, and I wanted to make sure everybody had a chance to look at it, because it's pretty cool. Let's see, I'm going to do a little screen sharing here and get it to go, because I think it's going to have to go big. So, yeah, I'll share, I'll get the screen going here and let y'all see this video, get it going here for you. It's a FoxNews.com, and they just went out interviewing truck drivers about the fuel prices. And it's pretty interesting. I'm glad to see that it's something like this. It's like just regular video. It's not anything big. It's not a big production. I don't think it even made like the Fox News channel, but it's just something they did online when they were talking about the where truck drivers are concerned. So let's check it out here. That's not what I wanted to do now. Come on now.
This is going up, but I can understand why.
Back it up. Here we go. So this is Brandywine, Maryland.
It's terrible, man. These prices going up, but I can understand why. But it's really costing us, man. It's coming out of my budget.
It ended up being $999. I think that's the highest I've seen so far.
Cannot afford to drive our vehicles. I mean, and make a profit for our families. It's just, you know, it's ridiculous.
It's affecting the companies more.
The smaller companies are going to just, they're eventually going to drop out because they can't afford it. But the bigger companies, they'll be all right.
Real hard for us to maintain because the brokers don't want to go up on the prices when the gas steady going up. So it's real rough, man. It's tough right now.
The gas is expensive. It's bad for me, you know. In Ukraine with Russia, that's a big problem. And that problem is for here too.
Biden needs to get in office.
I mean, whoever's in charge needs to be doing more. Can't just blame it on Biden, you know, because I mean, he took over a mess to begin with, you know, so we got to go from there.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't have no
argument can be made.
Any help for Biden administration.
As far as the gas going up, that's just one problem. There's a lot of other things going up as well. I mean, not the inflation. And then you got the war going on over there with Ukraine and Russia. And there's a lot of things more important right now. But to get this gas down would be a blessing.
So there you go. Yeah, it's something else. And I thought that was interesting that I like it when they go out and interview regular people on these big time websites. You know, we see it a lot of times on these little websites or little YouTube channels or whatever like that. But, you know, when they put it out there, it's probably going to get a lot of traffic. You know, you've got Fox News out there and people are actually looking at it. The actual article. Let's see here. I was going to see if it had any kind of, it's like we cannot afford to drive our vehicles. One Virginia trucker told Fox News that diesel costs hit an average of $5.32 a gallon as of Monday night, up nearly $2 from a year ago, according to AAA. Says that price also marks more than 4% increase from a week ago. And see, now they got the picture of the woman holding the luxury seat. Shows her that she spent $999 on gas. At the Love's gas station on diesel. That might be her max. I mean, her fuel card mainly only allow her to get. She can't, if she gets over, if she gets $1,000, it declines it. So her fuel card shuts off at $9.99. And a lot of fuel cards do that, where it's a dollar amount set and you have to raise it. We were just talking about that with one of our great supporters here and members of Redneck and I's, Jeff. You know, when the fuel prices went up, he had to call. He uses a Love's fuel card, and he had to call Love's. He's like, hey, you've got me maxed out at a credit limit at a dollar amount, and you've got me maxed out of a daily purchase. You need to raise all that. And they said, yes, we're going to do that. We're going to raise, not only we're going to raise your daily purchase limit, we're also going to raise your credit limit as well, because it is a dollar amount and it's based off of how much fuel you buy. And of course, you know, if you need so many gallons of fuel to run so many miles, then you have to spend so much money. That's where that comes down to. The only thing I'm interested in, let's see, it says Tennessee trucker showed Fox News her receipt from the gas station after filling her tank with 169 gallons. See, that's the good stuff about it. When you see them actually explaining that, it says says nothing that her tank hadn't even been. It says let's see. It says, noting that her tank hadn't even been empty. That means, I mean, yeah, of course, she probably has 150-gallon tanks or 130-gallon tanks. And, you know, so totally empty could probably take 260 gallons, you know, or something like that. So, you know, only 169 gallons is, that's a half a tank, basically. I was trying to get to where they've got a couple of little notations each interview that they did. And I was going to try to go to where they talked about the brokers and see this is Biden, this is blame, da 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 da. Whoever is in charge needs to do more, da 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 da. And let's see, more up here toward where this guy's at. And he says, tells the diesel crisis is terrible. Gas prices going up. That's just one problem. Says there's a lot more things to do. And that's what he said about, you know, Ukraine and everything. Says inflation reached a 40-year record high in March, with consumer prices rising 8.5% compared to a year ago. According to the Department of Labor, inflation rates have continuously risen over the last few months, with a 1.2% increase in February to March, from February to March. Yeah, they don't really talk about it, but I think the one driver hit note there, talking about how there's a lot of people that just don't want to pay more for the cost of fuel. They don't want to pay more in shipping. And I think, you know, and of course, nothing really can be done about that, except you just got to tell them no. You just got to tell them I ain't doing it. You know, and I've seen it. I've gotten on the load boards. I've seen it where, you know, there's still cheap freight out there. It's way cheap. And I don't know who's moving it. I don't know. I don't know either. I don't, you know, everybody out there probably listening to me saying, I ain't moving it. And that's, you're probably right. You're probably telling the truth. But somebody is. And I don't know. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know who's moving that cheap freight. I mean, it might be some backhauling going on, you know, where every now and then you get somebody. I was talking to a driver, and he's got a round trip where the customer is paying him to make sure that he's back to haul their load. They got, you know, they got a load going out every other day for him, or every day or whatever, and he's got to get back, and they pay him to get back. So he's probably not getting a top rate. He's probably getting a lower rate, but it's a good rate for him. And he's just trying to sweeten the deal by getting a backhaul. And a lot of times you see that where they'll take something really cheap for a backhaul, but they're already making their money. It's not like, you know, and the problem is that's just how the market works. That's how things roll. And, you know, if I was in his shoes, I'd be doing the same thing. You know, I got my money being made. And the backhaul that I haul for cheap is just icing on the cake. And I don't, you know, some people may disagree with me on that, but I think that's just good business. You know, you get your customer, and then you sweeten the deal by getting other customers on top of that. You know, it's one of those things. It's the way business works. Like, I can tell you right now, one of the habits that I've seen in the past, I don't know if it's still being done a lot, but like the rail, freight gets put on the rail. The rail is really cheap. Back when I saw the rates, this was probably 10 years ago, when I was actually seeing the rates more, it was like, you know, the regular rate was $2 a mile, and the rail rate was like 30 cents a mile. Like, you know, that's how much money you had to spend. If you put the trailer on the rail, you were only spending about 30 cents a mile, 30 to 50 cents a mile. And the regular rate for a truck is $2 a mile. And, you know, the only downfall is it might take 2 weeks for that load to go from, you know, let's say Dallas to California. That's what I was looking at. And at the time, these big carriers, what they would do is they would get these customers. They would say, hey, you need some freight hauled. They say, yeah, I need a lot of freight. I got a lot of freight. I produce this item in California. And I need to get that item to all my warehouses on the East Coast. And I need to get them to Oklahoma. I need to get them to Arkansas, Louisiana, wherever, Tennessee. And they say, well, you know, we can do that for you. And, of course, these big carriers, their biggest selling point is they have trailers. And you're talking about they probably have trailers like 4 to 5 to 1. So if Swift has 20,000 trucks, they probably got almost 100,000 trailers. I don't know the top number. Somebody may tell me and correct me on that. But, I mean, that's what they do. They tell the customers, we got trailers. So if you can produce the freight, we'll bring you the trailers. You load them up, and then we'll come get them. And that's what they love doing. And especially if they have time. Like, they say, okay, this load that you just gave me today, when's it got to be, you know, when's it got to be in the location? And a lot of times these big companies, they'll give them time. They'll say, well, you know, I'll give you like 10 days, or Swift or Schneider or somebody, they'll tell them, you know, I can get it there. It'll be 10 days. It's kind of like, it's so funny. You think a lot of these places, they'll book freight and they'll say, hey, you know, I got to have this load, you know, from California to Texas. I got to have it within, you know, what is it, 36 hours, you know, or at least 24 hours or a little more, whatever it takes. However long it takes to run it, that's when I need it there. And so those guys, they're paying top dollar. Those big businesses, you think, you know, just like the guy says, these big businesses will be all right. When these shippers call and they say, I need that load now, those guys, those big shippers like Schneider and all them, they're telling them. Right now, they're probably telling them $8 a mile, because they are going to have to probably get it on some other truck other than their truck, especially Schneider or J.B. Hunt. You know, those people, they got the system where they, not only do they, like, it might be loaded in a J.B. Hunt trailer. Well, they can put it on a J.B. Hunt truck. They can put it on a rail. They can put it in an owner-operator that's leased to J.B. Hunt. They can put it on an independent, on a load board. They can do whatever they want. They have all that power. And so they'll tell the guy, you know, $8 a mile, and they'll pay it because they want it there. And they'll get some poor sap out there, you know, trying to get $3 a mile, you know, he's happy with $3 a mile. And look, and think about that. $5 a mile just went to J.B. Hunt because they did that. And that's where we got to see that. We got to understand that. We got to understand, you know, that you got to get your money, especially if it's hot. I know some truck drivers that work for some carriers where they did a lot of that expedited hot freight, and those guys are getting $6-$7 a mile. That's what they get, and that's what the expedited hot stuff is paying. So whenever you get something that says it's hot, you know, it's almost like if you're an owner operator leased to a carrier, like if you're leased on to Schneider or you're leased on to Landstar, or even if you're just a lease purchase guy for Swift, and they tell you it's hot, it's got to go. It's almost like you need to pay me more if you want me to, you know, especially if you're talking about limiting your breaks where you can't shut down, you know, if you can't take a 30-minute break whenever you want kind of deal, you know, when you can't, like, just, I don't know. I'm not saying be a Winnebago team, but, you know, hey, you know, if I don't feel like running, you know, if I don't have to run 8 hours today, I don't have to, you know, that kind of thing. But and you see, there's a lot of freight out there that pays good, that you don't have to bust your ass. So that's what I think about, you know, when I think about those things. But on the rail, I mean, they might pay money to owner-operators or independents to start getting those trailers going. But once the supply chain is there, once they get the trailers at the spots they need them, they'll start putting them on the rail, $2 a mile, $3 a mile. But they're only paying 30 to 50 cents a mile on the rail. I don't know. These days it might be up to $1 a mile, but it's still like, you know, 70% cheaper or 80% cheaper to put it on the rail. And like I said, it just takes a long time. So as long as the rail's going, you know, and you can get the system, the trailers flow, then you can start. It's kind of like once you get the siphon going, It'll keep going. It'll stop. You know, as long as you got the local drivers to get the trailers to the rail, as long as you got the local drivers to pick them up and take them to the warehouse, you know, I mean, Hobby Lobby makes a lot of money off of moving those containers off the rail. They got ships coming in to Houston. Hobby Lobby has a warehouse in Oklahoma City. And I remember we used to call the containers from Houston up to Oklahoma City, and it was a paid round trip. You pick up a container in Houston, loaded, you take it to Oklahoma City, you pick up an empty container, and you take it back to Houston. And that was a paid round trip, you know, and all loaded miles. And that was a good gig that I did. I did that for a little over a year. And there's a lot of opportunity like that. I mean, I know the big carriers, they swoop in and take that stuff. But, you know, every now and then, you know, just throw your hat in the ring. At least give them an offer. You know, you never know. I think Hobby Lobby probably could make. I don't know if they're doing that now. I mean, that was back shoot. That was 12 years ago that I did that. Nowadays, they probably got their own trucks. Hobby Lobby hired a lot of their own drivers. I knew they were making good money. They were making a higher rate than regular company drivers everywhere else. So they might have their own drivers doing that now. I don't know. Let me know. But that's one thing that caught my eye about that interview they did was the guy saying the brokers don't want to come up. And I said, we got to do better. As drivers, we got to understand that we know what they're trying to do. Make your money. Don't take anything less. You shouldn't have to. You don't deserve to take less money because you're trying to make ends meet. The customers are paying. The brokers might not be paying, but the customers are paying. We know that. So just tell them. And a lot of times don't sweat it. You know, get your money. And I know that there's still people out there, like I said, the round trippers that are booking their low rates to could put the sweet in their deals. And like I said, that's just business. And I don't want that to change because I want everybody to be able to do that. So tell me what you think. Like I said, call in 515-602-9731. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget our great sponsor, that's Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. And I didn't see. Oh, yeah, it's still on there, isn't it? Let's do that. There we go. Good deal. So, yeah, we're going to keep on rocking and rolling here. Like I said, 515-602-9731. We're on Facebook Live as well. I appreciate everybody listening along there. And we'll get that set up. I can't really see anything right now. But, yeah, it's there. I can see it. Good deal. So just check that out. And don't forget to go, like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. Remember, we're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow, Wednesdays, it's Women of Redneck and Eyes. Also, same number, 515-602-9731. So hang tight. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. I'm going to take it to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh.
Spring is almost over and the summer's come and the days are getting long. Waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. Jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night.
Back everybody, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every Sunday. Well, I said Sunday on the deal. I got to change that. It's every weekday. We're still doing the Sunday show, so it's pretty much 6 days a week. Just taking Saturday off for right now, but we're probably going to switch over to where it's every weekday. Every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here. It's a Blog Talk Radio. If you guys don't know that, it's the 515-602-9731. The call in there. And you can also check that out. But we're also on Facebook Live, and we appreciate everybody doing that. We're probably going to be trying to – what we're doing is getting Facebook Live on here, and then we're going to try to switch over to YouTube and do that more. But we appreciate everybody doing that for us and everything. Just be sure, like I said, go subscribe to that YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. And thanks to all the guys listening out there and everything. So if you want to chime in, just like I said, 515-602-9731. And I just got a question of what y'all think about that. If, you know, you're out there getting the rates. Like I said, the guy on the interview said that the rates were going down that the brokers don't want to come up on the rates because of fuel prices, and they just don't feel like they can do that and everything. But also, just a reminder, like we talked about yesterday, just because the fuel prices are high at the pump doesn't mean you're paying that full price. Now, I understand that there's a lot of people out there that have to use the fuel cards that they're given or anything, or you're limited. I mean, I know how it is. And I always say, get yourself in a position to where you can get your own fuel card. As an owner-operator especially, get your own fuel card where you're paying for your own fuel and you're getting some type of discount on that fuel card. Because that's going to be where you do it. Because like they said on the interview, the big company is going to be okay. Well, the big company is going to be okay because they have purchase power with their fuel cards. And what they do is they don't pay that full price. They're paying a discount. And you you can get the same thing. It's not anything that's special. If you have fuel card with like Fleet One, different fuel purchase programs with different organizations, what is it called, NASDIC or whatever, they have a fuel purchase program. And I mean, not all the truck stops give you a cost plus, but you can get it. I mean, there are opportunities to do that as truck drivers, you know, and everything. So that's something to think about as truck drivers out there. And like I said, what the brokers are factoring in on is that's what they want. They're trying to find, you know, it's so funny to me that the broker thinks, well, you know, if I can find that owner operator that's got that fuel card, or he's not paying that high price of fuel, then I can get a lower rate out of that guy because he's not paying that full price of fuel. But the problem is that guy, he knows what you're doing. He knows you're milking that rate. So if you've got a driver, an owner-operator, independent, that's got their own fuel card and they're paying discounted prices, they've already seen the strings on your little tricks, and they're the ones milking the good rate out of you. So not only is he going to get the better rate, the truck driver is going to know what the rate to give, they also know where to buy their fuel to get the cheapest fuel. So the same people that are paying high prices of fuel because they don't know that they can get good fuel purchases somewhere else are the same ones that don't know that they're getting shafted on the deal at the rate. That's the way it seems to me, you know, but you never know. Some people got priorities, you know. A lot of times we complain about truck drivers. We see them out there where they're just trying to get the cash. They just want the cash right now. Pay me now for this load. You know, and they'll take a lower rate just to get that cash in their hand. And somehow they keep everything afloat, you know, and they just want that cash and everything. And I don't know. I don't see how they work, you know. And I mean, it has nothing to do with, you know, you see them out there all the time. Sometimes you wonder how people make it, but there are drivers out there. That's all they want. They want the cash, you know, and you see them where they're the ones that, those are the ones that are working 24/7 nonstop. Those are the ones that are cheating on their logbook, are the ones just trying to get the cash right now. I got to have the cash. You know, those are the ones that are probably sitting over there at that little ticket gambling machine down there in Louisiana. You know, they when they stop for the night because they have to, you know, and if they ever got popped for a drug screen, they'd probably fail it. You know, those kind of guys. And we've seen them out there. I've seen them. I've seen them down the road all the time. You know, and, you know, don't think just because the guy takes a month off that he ain't making money. He's making money. They're making money. We see it. You know, we got them here at Redneck and Eyes. They take a whole, they'll take 6 months off sometimes because they make money, you know, and sometimes you got to take time off. You got to take time off or the IRS man will come after you because you're making too much money. And that's the God's honest truth right there. But I don't know. That was the one thing I saw on the news. The Fox News did an interview out there, there's a lot of, you know, I guess what gets drivers to click on stuff is just, you know, boom, truck crashes, truck accidents. And I don't know, that's just so an autonomous trucking transition to drive job change, not job loss. Sometimes these funny websites, they want you to pay or whatever. Well, this might be all right. Let's see. This is an article off of VentureBeat. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know if I can get the whole article in here. But it says autonomous trucking transition to job change, not job loss. It says the automation of the commercial trucking industry has generated concerns about the potential for mass layoffs for drivers. A growing body of research and expert opinion, however, suggests that the economic shift to self-driving big rigs is unlikely to impact as many truck driving jobs as some news headlines proclaim. And I'll tell you what, I think I like to agree with this. Anybody out there that says, you know, they're trying to take their jobs or whatever, that's not really that true, because the one thing that they're hurting on, when they say there's a driver shortage, what that means is they cannot find enough drivers to go over the road and stay over the road and always haul the freight from big city to big city, state to state, that kind of stuff. Now, if you're over in the East Coast or you live in the Midwest or whatever, and you're hauling like from, you know, Cleveland to Chicago or Chicago over to Pittsburgh or whatever, or Chicago to Philly, you know, that's not that hard. You know, that's a day run back and forth. Boom. That's no big deal. But when you're talking about like Salt Lake City to Dallas, you know, or Salt Lake City to Chicago, those are the runs that they're the hardest to cover, because there's a lot of drivers that don't want to do that. Even the drivers that live in Salt Lake City, or they live in the Chicago or Colorado area like Denver, they want to run regional, which means they want to run from Denver up to Cheyenne and back. They want to run from Denver down to Albuquerque and back. That they don't want to go too far away where they can be home more often, and they're just not too far where if something happens, you know, they can always get a load back, you know, that kind of thing. So the problem is getting those, when those customers call, they say, hey, I got this load in Atlanta, Georgia, and I need to go to Denver, Colorado. You know, a lot of times those bigger carriers take those loads because what they'll do is they'll shuttle it. You know, anybody that's ever worked for these big carriers, they know how it works. You pick up a load in Atlanta, you take it to Memphis, you drop it, you pick up another load, you go back to Atlanta. Another driver will pick up that load in Memphis, and they'll take it to Kansas City, and they'll drop it, pick up something else, go back to Memphis. Another driver, pick up in Kansas City, go to Denver, drop it, take a load back to Kansas City. So that's how that works. And a lot of times, as long as those, but if they're hot, they got to go, then you got to pay for a team. You got to find a team to do that. And those also are hard to find. You know, even if I was running team, I wouldn't want to be pushed to run hard. And if I was, you know, told I needed to run hard, well, you're going to need to pay, you know, and that's what we were talking about earlier with the $6, $7, $8 a mile thing. You know, even if I was a company driver working for some other bigger company, I'd want to be paid. I know right now a lot of these LTL fleets that have team operations, those teams, they're getting paid like a guaranteed. I think the article said one time that the guarantee pay team driver, if you're a team driver running LTL, the guaranteed annual salary of $100,000. That means if you ran more miles, you'd make more money. But if all you ran was the bare minimum, they'd still guarantee you. Like, there would be some parameters that you'd have to meet to guarantee that. But a full-time employee being in that operation will be guaranteed $100,000 in that year. So, you know, that they got to pay. You know, they're going to make you stay out a week, 2 weeks. Basically, might be a lot of times those ones that are harder to find are the ones that have to stay out 2 to 3 weeks at a time. But the week thing, I mean, even some of those ones that are paying $100,000 a year, they're home every weekend. You know, they're home at least a day and a half to 2 days, you know, a week, every week. So there you go. I mean, if you're gonna have to stay out longer, then you probably need to pay more. So that's the ones I think the automated trucks are going to take over, is where you could give a load to a truck, you know, out of Georgia, and that truck can drive itself all the way to Colorado. That would be the dream right there. And there might be some points where the truck would have to, of course, it needs to get fuel. So, you know, there would be places the truck would pull in. The computer would automatically know to pull into this one yard that the carrier had already set up, or the whoever's running the show would set up. The truck would pull in there and then, you know, top it off and then get back on the road. You know, check everything out, make sure everything's good to go. And see, and that's the other thing. If you're a CDL holder right now, and let's say that you're running over the road and you're thinking, well, I'll be out of a job because nobody's going to hire me to be, you know, I'm trying to find a local job, or I'm trying to find a regional job, and I can't find one, especially where I live. If you're out there right now, if you're a driver right now over the road and you're looking for a local job and there's none to be found, and you got to be, but my comment to you right now, my advice to you right now is prepared to move somewhere or within driving distance of a place that is going to hire you. That's my recommendation is, you got to be willing to move. That's what I did. I moved. There was a local job come up and I moved because the local job was paying really well. And it was a local. I was going to be home every night, and I moved. I said, you know what? That's, you know, I told them. They said, well, you don't live there. I said, well, if you hire me, I'll move it. I'll move down there. So that's what I did. And you got to be willing to move. I was working in the office for Swift Transportation back in 2003, 2004, and drivers that lived out in East Texas, like in Nacogdoches, you know, nowadays, I mean, you know, that was what, like I said, 15 years ago, is I think it was. That's like 2000. So 15, 17 years ago, they were living in the middle of nowhere, you know, even in Odessa or anything like that. And of course, they come to work for Swift. Now, not to say that there's any local jobs in Nacogdoches or Odessa. There are, but not with Swift, right? So yeah, when you get off the trainer's truck, you've only been driving, what, a month and a half? You haven't even gotten a full 3 months in yet, and you get off the truck with the trainer, and you come sit down in front of me, and I'm fixing to give you a truck where you can go over the road, and you go, I really need a local position. I was hoping for a local. I was like, where do you live? Nacogdoches. That ain't going to happen. Well, I've seen local trucks down there. I said, yeah, not Swift. You know, or you might have seen a Swift day cab going to Nacogdoches, but guess what? That day cab's got to be back in Dallas every night. So are you gonna park the truck in Dallas? Well, no, I live in Nacogdoches. Well, yeah, so there you go. You can't do that. So, you know, sometimes the recruiters, they tell you stuff. You know, watch out for that. Just know that just because you see a truck down there doesn't mean that truck's available for you to work that job in that city or wherever you're at. So be prepared to move if that's necessary. But other thing, too, is like I was just saying about the fuel stations. Let's say that Swift all of a sudden buys a bunch of autonomous trucks. They might have trucks going from Houston to Dallas, Dallas to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City to Kansas City. You know, that's a regular shuttle run route. You know, they can have the trucks pull into the terminals there that have the fuel stops, the fuel stations, and they can do that. They can top the trucks off. And they'll probably do is they'll hire more CDL holders at least. Maybe, I mean, they may not need to, but to me, I would think that if you're going to have somebody, you know, there might even be a good DOT regulation that says when the autonomous truck stops to get fuel, a CDL holder must be the one there to be able to inspect the truck, or some type of certified mechanic, somebody that's been trained on handling those trucks. And those are the ones, they're going to have to open the hood, you're going to have to check the oil, check the fluids, check the tires, all that stuff, you know, every time the truck gets fuel. Because with an autonomous truck out there, you know, that's the one thing that drivers can do is as the truck's going down the road, if you see a problem, you can spot it right then and there, and then you can do something about it. With an autonomous truck, you know, there's going to have to be a lot more sensors on there to know whether or not, you know, just because, you know, you don't want to, like everybody knows to me, I can tell if a tire is going to get low. I can tell whether a tire is doing something. You know, and of course they've got these sensors and all that stuff like that and everything they can do, but that's one thing they're going to have to do. And as a, when the truck stops, you're going to either going to have to check the tires, double check the tires and triple check the tires. You're going to have to triple check the sensors. So you're going to have to get trained on stuff. They're going to need people to do that. So it's going to need, you know, just like telephone people, you know, they used to have operators everywhere sitting behind a desk and working the telephone lines. They still got people doing that. They're just doing it. There's less people and there's computers, more computers, and you have to be all that. And then look at all the people out there working on the lines. You still have to have that. you know, working on the systems, working on the boxes, you know, that kind of stuff. So that kind of thing is still going to be there. They say here that full driverless operations are still several years away. Several factors will sustain long haul trucking jobs for the foreseeable future. The responsibilities of a truck operator extend beyond driving. There we go. So even if driving is automated, fleets will need human drivers to assist with customer service, loading, and other tasks, said Deck, who previously served as the acting administrator for the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Says if nobody is in the cab who puts out a fire on the trailer. He says if nobody's in the cab, who puts out a fire on the trailer? And that's it. You know, it's like because like you're saying, there needs to be some type of sensors. You're going to have cameras, not only cameras facing the road, watching out for other vehicles, just cameras on the truck and trailer, watching out for the truck and trailer. Different things, you know, happen. You know, I mean, I can just see that there's not any kind of sensors or anything, and an owl or a hawk will fly into your truck and it won't damage anything, but next thing you know, there's an owl or a hawk just stuck going down the road. I've had that happen. Anybody have that happen? Where a big bird flew into your truck and it didn't damage the truck or anything, but the bird got stuck into the fairing. And so I stopped the truck, and because I stopped the truck, you know, the bird was able to get out. I don't know. I mean, it flew away. So I'm assuming it was all right. But that happens, you know? So I imagine there's probably a bunch of animal lover activists out there saying, hey, yeah, if something happens like that, you need to stop the truck. I said, yeah, you need to be able to stop the truck. Because just imagine if I wouldn't have stopped the truck, what would have happened to that bird? I don't know, you know. Would its chances probably would have gone downhill of getting done things done, you know. Animals do that all the time, you know. If the truck stops and nobody's there to see it, you know, how many people have had like animals crawl up underneath the truck while you're shut down for the day? You know, if you don't do a walk around inspection, then you don't see that. You know, I had that happen. I had a squirrel like up on the axle, just kind of like sitting there. I don't know what it was doing. I don't know if there was something there. It was eating some bugs or something. I don't know, but it was just there. Just, you know, as soon as I got out of the truck, started my walk around, it's like, pew, like, where was that thing at? You know, just sitting up under the truck. You know, hopefully you know that the animals will take off, but if they're not, so that kind of stuff, you know, everything's got to be done. It says driver shortages and high turnover rates upwards of 90% means that the lower employment levels as the economy transitions to self-driving trucks can largely be offset with natural, attrition. And regulatory hurdles mean whispered adoption of driverless trucks is still years away. Says if you want to enter the long haul trucking industry now, says you'll be able to retire in the long haul industry. That's probably, yeah. But I don't think anybody wants to. I think that's the thing. Nobody wants to get into it because it's not, I mean, long haul is not paying. It to me, long haul should be paying way more. I get paid really good right now doing what I do, and I'm home every day. I would think if you're out there running long haul, when you're gone like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, you should be making double of what I make. So I'm just thinking of it right now. The only thing that motivates me to do a good job with what I'm doing right now is I don't want to go back over the road. And I know that right now, you know, job market's tight. It's still tight. Even if you've got the setup, you know, so just be prepared to seeing that. But let's see, where are we at? Oh, bam. Yeah, we're doing good here. So let's keep it rocking and rolling. We're going to, let's go back over to where are we at. Click on my radio stuff here and see what we got going on. And we'll get something fired up. Here we go. Good deal. Hey, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling here. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with the last 15 minutes of the show here. Like I said, you can call in at 515-602-9731. Don't forget to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a holler at 800-634-3010. They're the guys that clean all the particulate filters and all that good stuff like that, and they've got all the parts to service that kind of technology. They've got everything over there, too. They got charge air coolers, turbos. You know, they just got a lot of expertise behind all of their equipment that they're dealing with out there. And if you got any problems with your truck, need any kind of diesel mechanic assistance, DPF Regeneration is the place to start to me. So give them a holler, like I said, 800-634-3010. Check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And go check out our website, Redneckinized Radio, or redneckinized.com. That's where you find links to all our social media accounts and our sponsors. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. It's Redneckinized Radio. Welcome back, everybody. This is Ed with Redneckinized Radio. We're here live here Sunday. Well, it's every weekday. We're still doing Sundays. I'm still reading off the thing that I got set up here. But we're here at weekdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's what I'm trying to get out. Weekdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Remember, tomorrow it's the Women of Redneckinized. Same number. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll be Facebook Live as well, and that's 515-602-9731. Yeah, Clay, we're on Blog Talk Radio. That's where we're at. You can go click on, go to blogtalkradio.com/redneckinize, and you'll see that's all of our episodes on there where you can subscribe to our channel there and see all of our past episodes on that. And we appreciate everybody doing that for us and setting that up. But we're also on YouTube. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate everybody doing that for us. And we're trying real hard to get that going, you know. We're excited about Redneckinized in the future. If you guys don't know already, if you've been paying attention to this long, we're getting ready to do our own thing. We're looking really hard at getting our own truck show going, and that's, we're really excited about that. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be probably in 2024, and we're getting things geared up for that, trying to get everything squared away. You know, there's a lot that goes into that, but you know, we just keep, I don't know, we try to go to the other truck shows, but it's hard to get everybody there at one time because, you know, we all work, we all got other things to do. We're not about ourselves. We're about helping people out. We're about helping the truckers. And basically when we do go to the truck shows that we don't put on, we basically want to set up in the parking lot, put up a tent and serve dinner and everything. And that's one of the great things we've been doing. And we weren't allowed to do that this last time around there at the Louisville truck show. So we just said, you know what, we're done. We're not going to do that no more. So that's what we're going to do is that. So until that happens, where things change, we're going to just do our own thing. We're going to do our own. We're going to get ready to set up our own show. And we're going to keep doing our radio show here, like I said, every weekday, 7 p.m., and do that. And so one of the great sponsors that's been helping us out through this has been Trucker Tools. They contacted us back in 2020. Actually, I think I reached out to them. I can't remember. And they were excited. We were excited. Their things were going to get big. And then 2020 shut everything down. And, of course, Trucker Tools like, hey, we still like what you're doing. You did the radio thing. You're doing the YouTube thing now. You know, and now you're doing the radio show and all that. And then we had the truck show where we were there. We did some forums with them. Trucker G was there. Jacinda. It was a lot of fun. And Larry, he was there too. Met him. He's a great guy. And that was a lot of fun. And they said, hey, well, it's a great thing. Let's keep doing that. So now we're with them. Now they've already signed up to continue supporting the radio show. So we're going to keep sending them out some messages about Trucker Tools. The Trucker Tools app, if you don't have the app on the App Store, you go down there and download it off of there. They do the load tracking. They do the booking where you can book the freight. They also do the stuff where you can plan your routes and get truck stop information. Walmart's parking spots, you can actually pay and reserve parking spots all over the country. You know, let's say you're going to be somewhere for the weekend and you want to be able to park the truck somewhere and maybe go sightseeing or grab a hotel and relax, but there's no place to park the truck where you want to be. Just look it up and there might be some parking spots that you don't know about over there, because a lot of what happens is property owners that have parking spots available, they call Trucker Tools and it's through some type of parking network. I forgot the name of it. I thought it may be on here. I don't know. I have to go look. We'll get somebody on there and look for that. But, yeah, it's where you can actually – so do that. And appreciate everybody supporting Trucker Tools. And like I said, when you talk to them or message them or anything, just let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. And that's the truth right there, because they've been really helpful with us. So we were talking about automated trucks. We were talking about fuel prices and just trying to be optimistic about all that. You know, I mean, like I said, to sum up everything, I think that when the only thing I saw from the interview a while ago, you know, we know fuel prices are high. Yesterday we mentioned it. Try to find a fuel card where you can get some kind of discount. That's kind of the only advice I can give you is control your fuel costs, whether you need to slow down, whether you need to maybe, you know, change some things on your truck. Maybe get, you know, if you used to pull flatbed and now you're pulling van and you have a flat top truck, maybe go ahead and buy you a scoop to where you got a little more aerodynamics. You know, if you don't have a very aerodynamic truck, maybe you have to slow down a little bit to get some better fuel mileage. You know, maybe you need to go ahead and make some maintenance adjustments, get some repairs done so that you can get a better fuel mileage. If not, you're just going to have to make more money. I mean, it's boiled down to it, you know. It's funny to me how these people, I would think that if a guy's running around there in a big nose Peterbilt with a, you know, not any kind of like condo or anything on it, and he's pulling a big reefer trailer, and he's getting really poor aerodynamics where he's not really getting that good of fuel mileage, and he's going about 80 miles an hour down the interstate, you would think they're getting top rate. They better be getting top rate. If you're not, then I don't know how you're making payments on that big truck or even repairs. You know, even if you do the repairs yourself, it's still expensive. So you better be getting the rate. That's all I could tell you. And I think people out there, We just need to stop doing better. When you see drivers complain that the brokers aren't willing to pay, we just got to stop. Just say, you know what? I ain't hauling that. And let the broker work hard to find that person willing to do it for less. You know, you know what you got to get. And if you don't know what you got to get, that's what you got to figure out, is how much do you need to make money, to make a living. So get that figured out. And then what it boils down to is that's the only two advices. You know, save money on fuel, control your fuel costs, and know your rate, and don't take that cheap stuff. Stay out of that. So that's the two best options that, you know, if you don't learn anything, learn those two things. I think you'll be just fine. And it's amazing how hard they are, though. That's God's honest truth right there. But and then if you're a company driver out there worried about, you know, getting out of a job because of autonomous trucks, you know, find that niche to where you're willing to be somewhere where they're going to need you. You know, if you're out living in the middle of nowhere and it's hard for you to find any kind of local or regional jobs doing something, then you got to be willing to move. And that's what I did, because that's what's happening out there, is that you got to, I mean, even the smaller towns, you know, I mean, in Texas out here, it's not just San Antonio and Houston and Dallas, you know, Austin, it's Waco, it's, you know, Corpus here. It's like Tyler, Pasadena. What's the other one out there? Orange, Texas is a growing community out there. You got Laredo, you got Brownsville, you know, you even got like Eagle Pass is growing to where they're getting into local fleets are getting out there. Odessa definitely growing. Midland, those areas. Abilene, you know, a lot of local positions available to those different cities out there. You know, same to do with like Louisiana. You know, I mean, who'd have thought that West Monroe would actually need any kind of local fleets that bad? And they do. They got them. You know, not just Shreveport, not just Baton Rouge or New Orleans or Lake Charles. You know, Lafayette needs local fleets. You know, Alexandria needs local fleets. You know, not just Atlanta or Savannah, Georgia, but Tifton, Georgia, or what's the one over there? Columbus, Georgia. You know, they need local fleets. You know, so it's one of those things where all those communities that are growing in population, they're going to need local fleets. So be prepared to move over there. You know, and if you're living in a little small town where there's nothing there, you can hold out for a while until that area grows and the local fleet's needed, you know, or you're within an hour drive of the facility to do that local job. You know, that might be something to think about, but that's what's happening is that back in the day, there weren't too many opportunities for local positions because the communities were small. And what they did was, is they just had, you know, one truck leave. So I got told here that used to all the local deliveries that were made in Corpus Christi were based out of San Antonio. The driver would leave San Antonio real early in the morning, drive down to Corpus, make local deliveries, make a few pickups, and then drive back to San Antonio. But there became so much, and the community grew to where a local position was needed. And that's how that works. And so as communities grow, local positions are going to be needed. And the autonomous trucks are just not going to be able to do that. Your autonomous trucks are not going to be able to pull up to Walmart. They're not going to be able to pull up to, you know, Joe's AC repair. You're going to still need drivers to do that. And, you know, that kind of thing. There's still like one of the biggest things that you see day to day. I see it every day. Trucks that do nothing but deliver parts to the like Caterpillar places, the places that make the heavy equipment. So what is it? Holt is the name of the places a lot. And Kubota, big, you know, heavy machinery manufacturer. They have facilities where they have to deliver parts, you know. O'Reilly, same way. They got their own trucks. You know, that's something to think about. So don't just think about trucking companies when you're thinking about, you know, we were just talking about Hobby Lobby earlier. You know, Hobby Lobby is probably doing a lot of their own stuff. There's probably not a lot of different carriers helping out Hobby Lobby as much as there used to be, because Hobby Lobby, they had their own trucks going to their stores. I think probably now they've got, you know, like Walmart. It used to be Walmart was just like, I don't know if people know the history of Walmart, but Walmart never did have their own trucks. They paid owner operators like independents to deliver to the stores. Then they paid they had their own fleets. So the fleets just delivered to the stores. Well, now their fleets, their Walmart drivers, they do everything. They'll go to shippers, pick up the freight, deliver it to the DCs. You know, they got Walmart has their own. I don't know if you guys have ever been out there, Baytown, Texas. There's these huge, three huge warehouses in Baytown, Texas, and it's nothing but Walmart. And all it is shipping containers coming in from the ships in the Galveston Harbor there, and they just get dropped off at the Walmart warehouse, and they get loaded into different trailers. They got Schneider, Swift, JB, Werner, you name it. And then they've got Walmart trailers, and they even do the Walmart, where a Walmart driver will take a Walmart, and he'll pick up a load at Walmart, D.C., take it to a store somewhere in Houston, pick up an empty at the store after they've dropped that loaded trailer, go over to Baytown, drop that empty off at that facility there in Baytown, Texas, pick up a load that they just loaded there in Baytown, and take it back to the D.C. up in either New Braunfels or New Caney or in DeSoto, Texas, or Plainview up there on the north side of Dallas. You know, you never know. I mean, that's they got Walmart fleets doing everything. So if you're a, you know, don't if you're a truck driver out there looking to swap it up and look for a good job, don't just look at carriers. Look at the big customers too: Walmart, Hobby Lobby, O'Reilly's, those kind of places. Because you see them out there; they got their own trucks. We see them all the time. So don't just say I'm not only going to apply to, you know, big carriers as a company driver, but also you got to be able to go where they're at. You don't just, you know, don't sit there out in the middle of nowhere living in your nice little comfortable house in this little small town thinking I'm not moving, because if you don't have a good job, then, you know, you're going to have to go where the jobs are. That's all there is to it. So, but that's about it, man. I tell you what, this is, I like talking about this stuff. I like talking about, like, you know, the philosophy of the future of trucking, because I think a lot of people, you know, sometimes it doesn't cross their mind of what they might do. Sometimes you got guys going down the road and they're thinking about, you know, oh, it was me. I don't know what to do. I'm not really comfortable here or having a good time. You know, I'm thinking of making a change, you know, and that's kind of, you know, what we think about. But then also, you know what, fill you in with what's going on out there in the world. So, but other than that, we're just going to keep on going here. Like I said, tomorrow is Women of Redneck and Eyes. Don't forget to call in there. That's 515-602-9731. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Don't forget that. And also, it's every weekday. So I'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll do it Friday. And then we'll be back on Sunday. And everything, you know, a lot of times one of us got something going on the weekends. So we're trying to make that where we can, you know, always have somebody here doing the show on Sunday. You know, until... You know, we need people to follow us is what we need, and we appreciate everybody doing that. So keep giving us, you know, recommendations, send us messages, comment, share, like, subscribe, do all that kind of good stuff. We appreciate everybody's support on that. Like I said, don't forget to go check out our YouTube channel. Go to our website, redneckandeyes.com. You'll find links to all those social media accounts. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And then also we got links to all of our sponsors, Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. We also got LTR. Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. And then we also have DPF Regeneration, and that's at dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support. And we also have a store. Don't forget to go check out our store. We got T-shirts and decals for the truck. And just, you know, we're working on good things to do there. Every now and then, you know, we get some orders, and we even got hats. I'm actually going to go try to talk to the guy at Lids about making some different kind of hats and see if we can get those out there to everybody. I'm getting asked more and more about them. So we'll definitely work on that for y'all. But go on there, check those out. And every now and then, you know, we got some cool swag stuff that we just kind of throw in there when you order a shirt. You know, we might throw some extra things in there. Nice little surprises for you. But like I said, we're here 7 p.m. Eastern time every weekday. 515-602-9731. That's Redneck and Eyes Radio, redneckandeyes.com. So until next time, y'all stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.